Okay, good morning, everybody. Let's begin. I'm reminding we have source packets over there. Whoever didn't get, welcome. Thank you so much for coming for Tishrei in a day. I think we have 10 consecutive shiurim back to back about Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret. It's going to be great. This event is dedicated by Michael and Marsha Lacks in memory of Michael's parents, Ben and Leah Lacks, Dov and Mordechai Zechonu Levracha, and Leah Bat Tovia Zechonu Levracha. May their neshamos benefit from our community's learning. This year in particular is dedicated by Paul and Chavi Jacobs to commemorate the Yortzeit of Paul's mother, Pearl Schraub Jacobs, Perel Hadassa Bas Yosef, Aleha Sholom. May the neshama have an aliyah. Okay, so we have a lot of shiurim today, and it's going to be very, very interesting. I have the privilege of being the first, giving the first shiur. Whoever doesn't know me, my name is Yehuda Mann. I'm the Sgan Rosh B'Midrash of Ben Midrash Zichron Dov, and assistant rabbi at the Clanton Park Shul. And today I want to discuss with you the gift of Teshuvah. The gift of Teshuvah. We have the great privilege in the month of Elul, this opportunity to come close to Hashem once again, and we can do tshuva, and we can repent, and we can clean ourselves from all of our sins, and become once again close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I wanted to discuss with you today, whether is this thing actually a gift? Is this an act of kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a special gift that He gives us, but it's something which is actually unnatural. Or actually, this is something which is some kind of rule of nature. When a person changes his ways, so in that case, how can you punish him? How can you judge him? He's not the same person that he was beforehand. Maybe mi'ikar adin. Maybe this is the rule of the law of nature that this person should be forgiven. For instance, we see many times, at least in Israel, that when there's some kind of terrible case, some kind of terrible trial, the person that was convicted with terrible, terrible things, he comes to the court, and suddenly he has a long beard, and suddenly he has a kippah the size of his head, and he tells the judges, listen, I'm a new man. I did terrible things in the past. It could have been a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. Now, I'm somebody else entirely, as you see. Should the court system actually accept this? Maybe this is actually a valid argument. That now I'm a different person, and now, since I changed my ways, the law should be, I don't deserve any punishment. There is a problem that we don't know exactly if he's honest. But let's say we had this kind of machine, that indeed, we look inside his heart, he's a different man. He really regrets what he did. So does that mean he shouldn't be punished at all? That means that the court should just say, okay, you're a different person, so because of that, you don't deserve any punishment? Or maybe this is only something unique to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The special thing that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say, although you did terrible things, I forgive you. So this is something that I want to explore in our brief and short shiur today until 10:30. So, let's see a few sources. In source number one, the Torah tells us in Parashat Nitzavim about the mitzvah of tshuva. You have it both in Hebrew and English. I'll try to read it in Hebrew and translate simultaneously. Let's see how that goes. The Torah says, "Ki ha-mitzvah zot, this mitzvah of tshuva, asher anuchi mitzvcha yom, lo nifleti mimcha velo rechokahi." This mitzvah of tshuva is not far away from you. It's not beyond you. It's actually reachable. It's something that you can actually do. Believe in yourself. You can do tshuva. It's not so far away. And the Sephorno, in source number 2, explains, lo nifleti mimcha, it's not beyond you. Velo rechokahi, it's not far from you, in a very interesting way. He says, in source number 2, lo nifleti mimcha, shetitzarech lanevi'im. It's not beyond you that you'll have to have a prophet to help you do tshuva. And it's not, ולא רחוקה היא, שתצטרך לחכמי הדור הרחוקים שיפרשו לך באופן שתוכל לעשותה. You don't need also the sages, the rabbis, the spiritual leaders of the generation that they will help you with the tshuva. You don't need no prophets, you don't need sages. This is something that you could actually do, בפיך ובבלך לעשותו. You could do it with your heart, you could do it with your mouth, in the form of confession. You don't need the prophet, you don't need the sages. Why is he mentioning prophets? Why is he mentioning sages? So I think the Sephorno alludes to a Yerushalmi in Makos, in source number 3. And the Yerushalmi says a very interesting discussion that there was, I don't know if it was in the heavens, I don't know where exactly it was, there was an interesting discussion. I'll read the English translation. They asked wisdom, what is the punishment of a sinner? They asked Chochmah, they asked wisdom, a sinner did a certain bad thing, what should be his punishment? What does wisdom say? She told them, evil will pursue sinners. So he says, if a person sinned, nothing to do. He did terrible things, there's no way to rectify his mistakes, and he will stay as he is. Evil will pursue the sinners. They asked prophecy, what is the punishment of the sinner? She told them, the sinning soul is the one which will die. So they asked also the sages, is there a solution for a person that sinned? No solution. They asked the prophecy, is there some kind of solution, some kind of remedy for a person that sinned? No, there is not. But then they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they asked the Holy One, what is the punishment of the sinner? He said to them, let him repent and it will be atoned for him. This is the words of the Yerushalmi, that only after they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only after they ask the Holy One, praise to Him, only then they hear there's this some kind of solution, some kind of remedy that is tshuva. A person could repent, he could fix his ways, and although he sinned, he can now change himself and do tshuva. So we see that if you ask logic doesn't make any sense. If you ask chokhmah, if you ask wisdom, tshuva doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If you ask even the prophet who brings the word of Hashem, he has no answer. You made a mistake, you did a sin, no way to fix it. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you the solution called tshuva, called repentance. And indeed, the Mesilat Yesharim, one of the famous Musar books of all times, says the following, that for according to strict justice, it would be proper that the sinner be punished immediately for his sin, without any delay whatsoever. If you ask me what is true justice, what is actually the letter of the law, how it should be, a person sinned, he should be immediately punished. That the punish, another thing that should be, according to the strict justice, that the punishment itself be wrathful as befits one who rebels against the word of the Creator. Blessed be His name. That also he has to be punished immediately, but also with a very, very severe punishment. And another thing, that there be no possible repair whatsoever for the sin. For in truth, how can a man rectify what he has made crooked after committing the sin? If one murdered his fellow or committed adultery, how can he possibly rectify this? Can he undo a deed already done from existence? But the attribute of mercy reverses the three aforementioned matters. The Mesilas Yesharim says that if you ask me what is supposed to be the law, what is true justice? A person killed a person, he deserves a punishment immediately. And he deserves a terrible punishment. And there's no sense whatsoever for him to rectify the thing that he's done. He took away a man from this world and he won't be here anymore. Not him and not his descendants. How can a person actually rectify that? It must be, he says, that this is a great act of kindness. This has to be an attribute of mercy that reversed all those things. So according to Mesilat Yesharim, according to Yerushalmi, apparently it is an amazing gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that we could actually do tshuva. We did terrible things. A person harmed another person in a terrible way. A person harmed the universe in a terrible way by doing these averos, by doing these sins. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with great mercy and kindness, which is absolutely without any logic, because if you ask Chochmah and the prophecy, does it make any sense? They say no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still says, you could actually fix your wrongdoings by doing tshuva. So we see, this is actually an act of mercy and kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, there is a very, very famous question about this, that we're now saying that tshuva is a great gift. It's something which is an act of kindness. It doesn't make any sense. The Gemara, in source number 5, the Talmud in Masechet Kiddushin, it sounds from there that actually it could be that it does make sense by logic. And it's not an act of kindness, and it's not a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? The Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, Even if one was completely righteous all his life, and he rebelled by sinning at the end of his life, he loses his early merit. As is stated, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him on the day of his transgression. A person is doing mitzvot all of his life, he's doing the commandments of Hashem, but then he's sinning in the end of his life, he's losing his previous mitzvot. So Gemara asks, how could that possibly be? If he's only doing an additional avera, an additional transgression, so he has another avera in his total. He did another avera in his life. Why should that erase all the previous mitzvot that he did beforehand? So then the Gemara says, no, I'll explain to you what happened. Why does a person in the end of his life, in this case, lose all of his mitzvot? Reish Lakish says, this is not referring to an individual who has merely sinned, but to one who regrets all the initial mitzvot he performed in the past. In this case, the mitzvot he performed are not taken into account. A person in the last day of his life, he's on his deathbed, and then he says, you know what? My entire life was a complete waste of time. I regret every minute that I learned Torah. I regret every minute that I went to shul. I regret every minute that I was kind to others and I did mitzvot. It was a complete waste of time. My entire life was a waste of time. And instead of saying, Ashamnu, Baganu, Gazanu, Dibamu Dofi, he's saying, oh, why did I do this? Why did I keep Shabbos? Why did I eat kosher? Why did I go to shul? It's such a waste of time. That's what he did in the last day of his life. And the Gemara says, you know what? If you really regret all that you did, everything is erased. All the good things that you did in the past are no longer taken in account. And indeed, also the Rambam paskins this halacha lemaisa in source number 6, and he says, "Kol mi shenichama la mitzvot she'asa v'taha al hazchuyot," a person that regrets all the good things that he has done, and he says, "Why did I do all these good things in the past?" V'amar belibo, "Ma ho'alti be'asiyata?" Why did I do this? It was just a complete waste of time. Halevai lo asiti tam, I wish I hadn't done them. Hareze ibed et kulam. He loses all of his mitzvot. He loses all of his merits. So asks Rabbi Chonon Wasserman, a Rosh Yeshiva in Lita, he died, he was murdered in the Holocaust. So he asked, we just brought here the Yerushalmi. We brought here the Mesilat Yesharim. They all emphasize and tell us that tshuva is a gift from Hashem. It's amazing. A person did terrible things, but once he says, sorry that I did that, I shouldn't have done this, his wrongdoings in the past are gone. It's an act of kindness of Hashem, because it doesn't make any sense. If you did something bad, how can you erase it? But if it's a gift from Hashem, so how can you do the opposite? If it's a gift from Hashem, how can you say, oh, I regret all the good things I have done, and by regretting the good things, you lose the good things. How could that possibly be? If indeed it's an act of kindness, it doesn't make any sense to lose to erase your bad doings in the past. So in that case, why should you erase your good doings in the past? If you do a real regret, if you're really doing a real charata, a real genuine charata, why should that erase the good doings? So it has to be that this is a law of nature. A person, the way that he is at this moment, if he regrets the bad things that he has done, so in that case, we don't take that into account. And a person that was good all of his life, and now he regrets the good things that he has done, so in that case, he loses the good things that he has done. It has to be some kind of law of nature. How could you say that this is actually an act of chesed, an act of kindness, an act of mercy of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Is this question clear? Hopefully. Great. Yeah.
I might have struggled with you. Sorry about this.
Yeah.
But you said you can regret and you can be sorry. Is there something where you can say, hey, I've been a good person for acts of kindness for 5 years, for 10 years, or for 1 year? Is there something as far as not the mental regretting, which is important, but also the physical actions, which prove that the person has changed in his nature and no longer has to regret? Maybe he does have to regret, but the proof of the pudding, if we expression, is in his actions for 6 months, a year, forever. Is there anything about...
A person could show his regret by saying so, by saying that he's regretting something, but also by his actions, indeed. But again, the question is, how can you change the past? So if you say it's like chesed, that we change the past, that all the bad things you did in the past are no longer there, it's like an act of kindness. So in that case, how does that help? How does this also erase the good things that you did?
You can't change the past, but you can change yourself so that you... Okay.
So let's say we had this instrument to detect a person that he killed a person, and now he says, "I regretted it." We check his heart. He did regret. No punishment at all. Okay, let's see. Yeah.
Hashem is the only one who can forgive this person. Court of law can,
right? 100%, 100%. We don't use it never in any rabbinical court whatsoever. By the way, the fact that a person could regret his good deeds that he did in the past has a major, major nafkamina. Because the Gemara in Kiddushin, and in Source 7, and the Gemara in Erevin in Source 8, they both emphasize that there's no reward for our good deeds in this world. It's only in the world to come. If a person has done good deeds in this world, the reward that Kadosh Baruch Hu is planned to give us, it's only in the world to come, and not in this world. However, the Gemara says in numerous places, in Tainus, if a person gives Meister money, he gives donation, gives a tenth of his income for charity, so in that case, he will become rich. If you'll give Meister, aser te aser, bishvilu shetitasher, if you give charity, so in that case, you'll become rich. So you're getting reward in this world. In source number 10, there's a very famous story about the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, that the astrologers told him that his daughter is going to die on the day of her wedding. And he was very concerned about it. And she got married, and the day of her wedding, everything was great. She wakes up in the morning, when she went to sleep at night, she took her decorative pin and put it inside the wall. When she woke up in the morning, she took out the pin from the wall, out from the wall with the pin, came out a snake. Very, very famous story. And then Rabbi Akiva remembered the story that the astrologers told him that she's going to die the night that she gets married. So he asked her, "What happened? How is it? Did you do maybe something that saved you?" So the Gemara there says that what happened, she saw a poor person coming to the wedding. No one noticed this poor person. No one paid him any attention. No one gave him any attention. And he was hungry. She took her meal and gave it to him. So says Rabbi Akiva, "Wow, you were supposed to die this night. The snake was supposed to come in, but you got this miracle because of tzedakah. Tzedakah tatziv memavet. If you give tzedakah, you're going to get reward in this world that you're going to live. Unbelievable. So how is it that the Gemara says on the one hand, there's no reward in this world, only in the world beyond, after 120 years, and whereas we see here, in the case of giving tzedakah, in the case of giving meiser, a person will live and a person will become wealthy. So I heard an answer, I don't remember from who, but it goes according to the Rambam and the Gemara that we said, that when a person regrets his good deeds, the all are erased. And because of that, if I put on tefillin this morning, and I put on tzitzis this morning, and then I'm hoping to get some kind of reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could say, "I can't reward you now. Because who knows? Maybe in your last day that you live, when you're 120 years old, maybe then you're going to regret it. And in that case, you're going to regret that you put on tefillin. You're going to regret you put on tzitzis. How could I give you reward? Because once you regret it in the end of your life, in that case, it will be erased. So how can I give you reward now on something that might be erased in the future?" However, mitzvot bin adam lechavero, a good deed between man and his friend, even if you regret it, it doesn't matter. If a poor person comes to me and he says to me, "I need food, I need help, I need something to eat, I need to marry off my children, I need clothes," and I give him $1,000, and he marries his children, and he has food, and I save him. And then after 5 years, I regret it. So what? At the end of the day, you saved him. The result of your actions are always going to stay, although you have regretted it. So because of that, good deeds between man and his friend, you get reward in this world, if you want. You get reward in this world. If you give Meister money, the Gemara says, you could rely on it, you're going to become wealthy. If you're going to give tzedakah, 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 tzedakah. I don't know if this is definite. I don't know how this exactly works, but this could explain the Gemara saying that although reward is only in the world to come, that is because you might regret it the last day that you live. But between man and his friend, so in that case, even if you do regret it, the result, the good outcome of your deeds are still here, and that could give you prosperity and good health in this life as well. But again, back to our question. How are we saying that tshuva is a great gift? Because how could you regret something and erase the past? We see also it works the opposite way. When it's not a gift, you did amazing things in your life, you regret it, and it erases the past. So it seems not to be a gift. How could this possibly be? So I will skip source 11, go directly to source 12. The major answer of the Kovetz Ha'arot. Kovetz Ha'arot, as I said, is the book of Rav Yochanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, a famous Rosh Yeshiva from Lita before the war, and he was murdered in the Holocaust. And he brings the Mesillas Yesharim in a different book that he wrote, called Derech Hashem. And I think we'll look in the other page, before source 13, right in the top. He says the following. It appears, accordingly, in every mitzvah, there is two things. A, the benefit that results from the mitzvah being done, which is the reason that God commanded that it be done. And this is how the patriarchs fulfilled the Torah before it was commanded, because they understood the benefits of doing it. I'll explain about that, because I think it's a bit complicated. When a person does a mitzvah, he actually gains two things. First of all, Hashem said to do something. So he did what Hashem commanded him to do. Your wish is my command. Chuck, I did what you wanted me to do. I listened to you. You want me to do something? I did it. That is one thing a person gains from a mitzvah. He told me, do this. I did it. Very good. You listen to me. You obey my orders. Very well. But there's another thing in the mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah, because Baruch Hu didn't command the mitzvah for no good reason, there is some kind of spiritual benefit. When a person does a mitzvah, he elevates himself. He becomes a different person. He becomes a better person. And Kodesh Baruch Hu, he knows with his great almighty wisdom that if you do something that he commands, you're going to get something that is going to benefit your soul. You're going to become something better. You're going to elevate yourself. Every single mitzvah, you do two things. You fulfill the commandment of Hashem, and you also elevate yourself by doing this mitzvah. That's why we know that Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they have performed all the mitzvot of the Torah, although they weren't commanded, so there's no commandment. Why did they do that? Because they knew a person benefits and elevates himself from performing a mitzvah. Says Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, is the same thing also in the case of an Avera. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells a person, don't do this, and you don't do it, so in that case, you're doing two things. A, you're fulfilling the commandment of Hashem, and also you're preventing yourself from contaminating your soul. If a person does an Avera, he's also not listening to the commandment of Hashem, and he's also contaminating himself. Because every single Avera contains some kind of spiritual negative force that turns you to a less of a better person. If a person does something bad, he becomes something bad in his personality. His personality changes. In source 13 of Soloveitchik brings a very, very clear example to this. He says that in halacha, when a person does certain averot, certain transgressions, we no longer believe him. He can no longer be a witness. A witness has to be a person that we can rely on. But if we know that this person does averot, transgression, he's according to halacha, he's not a kosher witness. We don't accept his testimony. Why? Because when a person does a certain avera, so he contaminates his soul, he pollutes his soul, he changes his personal status, and because of that, we cannot believe him. When a person does an avera, he changes himself in a negative way. I know for a fact, I know many rabbis, very, very important rabbis, that I find them to be very, very tzaddiki, very, very righteous, but they don't agree to be witnesses in a wedding. Because they have this concern that maybe they have all kind of averot that they didn't do tshuva on, and because of that, they cannot be a kosher witness. Because they somehow contaminated their soul, they're no longer reliable, they're not willing to be witnesses. Says Rav Yochanan Wasserman, when a person does tshuva, he does two things. First of all, Hashem forgives him for not listening to his commandment. Hashem forgives him for not listening to his commandment. But in addition, Hashem also cleans him. He gives him a special gift that although you lost your personal status, you became a person who is unreliable, you became a person who's contaminated, now I come and purify you. You become now, once again, a different person. You were until now a very bad person who did terrible things, and your personality became a bad personality. By the means of tshuva, by the medium of tshuva, a person could change himself and become, and elevate himself, and become something else entirely. Says Rabbi Chochanan Wasserman, so in that case, that could somehow explain to us what is exactly the gift of tshuva, and what is actually the logic thing of tshuva. When a person regrets what he has done, so all the previous commandments that, let's say, in the case of Navera, a person did many Averot in his life, all the times that he didn't listen to the commandments of Hashem, so in that case, we forgive you about that. But your soul is still polluted. Your soul is still contaminated. Now Hashem, with His mercy, with His chesed, the gift of tshuva, you become once again a clean person. In the case of a person that did mitzvot all of his life, he has did good deeds all of his life, and now he regrets it, so maybe now he regrets it. And all the good things that he has done, it is as if he didn't do it. The commandment of Hashem, that part of the mitzvah, but the spiritual benefit of the mitzvah sticks with him. A person that has done charity all of his life, that was kind to others, and that was davening with great passion to Kadosh Baruch Hu all of his life, he changed his personality. So maybe in the last day of his life, he will regret it, but what would that erase? Not his personality. It will erase all the commandments that he did do. Now it counts as if he didn't do it. But his personality is still elevated. He still is a better person. He still is a greater person. The chesed of tshuva is, the gift of tshuva is, the part of the spiritual contamination. When a person did a bunch of avirot, he changed himself to be a cruel and bad person. Now he does tshuva. The gift is that you become once again a different person. You elevate your soul. And although you did 119 years of bad deeds, of terrible, terrible things, and you contaminated your personality entirely, now you could clean yourself and become once again something else, something bigger, something better. So again, we asked that on the one hand we saw that there is a chesed in tshuva, there is some kind of gift of tshuva, that the Sefer Shearim, the Yerushalmi, no one could comprehend how could it actually work. On the other hand, we saw it's actually something which makes a lot of sense, because you could also erase your good deeds. How does this play? How does this work? In the field of the commandment of Hashem, so this is something which is actually the letter of the law. If you regret that you did all the commandments, or you regret you did all the mitzvot, it is logic that you won't get any reward on it. But regarding your spiritual status, your personal identity, your personal status, that is actually a chesed of tshuva. That person that did terrible things his entire life, he could change himself and change his personality. This idea is also mentioned in a certain way in Ilchot Talmud Torah. There is the famous Yisachar and Zvulun agreement. The famous Yisachar and Zvulun agreement that I didn't have the time to learn enough Torah, so a person who's learning Torah, I pay him, and then we split the reward. I give him my money, and he gives me half of his reward. There is a big, big machlokas between the rabbis in source 14 and 15. Does this part actually work? Can this work? Can a person really split the reward between him and his friend? There's a machlokas. Rama says yes. Maharam Meshakal says no. But in source 16, the Tzitz Eliezer al-Seh Baal Peh brings the words of the Imri Bina, and he says, again, it depends what can you split. Splitting the reward in the heavens, okay, maybe you could split that. You maybe could split it that also you, the Keilu, as if, also learned Torah half of your life. But when a person learns Torah, he's not only fulfilling a mitzvah of Hashem, he's also changing his personality. He's also making himself a better person. He's also elevating himself. He's also growing spiritually. This is something that you cannot copy. This is something that you cannot divide between two people. The reward in the heavens of fulfilling the commandment of Talmud Torah, you can do that. But to split the spiritual benefit, that is something that you cannot split. You cannot share. A person who learns Baba Kama, or a person who learns Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim, a person who learns Tanakh, is not the same person that did not do that. And this spiritual benefit is something that you cannot divide between two people. So again, the gift of tshuva is that although we have changed our personality in a negative way by doing these averot, the gift of tshuva is that now it's also that all of our transgressions, our past, are erased, but also our soul, our nefesh, our personality is no longer contaminated, no longer polluted, but rather it's now elevated, clean, and we're close to Kadosh Baruch Hu once again. Maybe we all be zoche.
I just want to ask something.
Please.
Is this only a